Infamous Indy presents the Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Malone. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions of whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. Welcome to Digging Up Dillinger. Joe Melillo here. Stuart Fillmore, Travis Thompson, of course, Mike Thompson, the picture of an M today. You're watching
a big M.
Welcome to the podcast, guys. Kind of got a couple updates for you, but we're really excited to be back. As always, as we got on today, guys, I said to you, oh my God, it's really nice to see you guys. It's, we joke around that we're the new age Dillinger game, but we're really good friends. I mean, after all the stuff, we really do love to give each other shit and just see each other again. So it's nice to be able to do this, except for Mike, because Mike, we can't see you today. He's just, his camera's off, but we're going to go.
Some people may like that.
Listen, I've noticed that every time it happens that way, our viewership on YouTube goes up. So,
right?
First and foremost, if you guys have been following us on TikTok, we were talking about the baseball glove and Travis going to the Indiana State Museum. We'll give you an update on that real quick. I got two other news items that I want everybody to hear. The first of which is my son's friend in eighth grade told me, I was a chaperone at the eighth grade dance the other day, last night, and he came up to me and he said, we listened to your podcast in class. And I said, no way, really? And he goes, yeah, our history teacher lets us listen to a podcast and we chose yours. And I said,
cool. Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
And he said, what's funny is we could only choose one because they all won't let him. We can't listen to them because they're explicit.
Yeah.
So there was only one. And I don't even remember which episode it was, but he said the other ones you couldn't listen to because they were explicit. Yeah. They wouldn't come up on the school computer. So
yeah, you know, and we try to keep the explicit to a minimum, but every now and then it's called for. I mean,
I think the nature
we've been through. Yeah,
I know, and this is something I think we're going to talk about a little bit more too, because it's the argument about us being explicit and so forth. We'll have a discussion about that. More. News item number two is we're working with the Crown Point Jail up in Crown Point, Indiana, to show up in April and do a talk and be a part of like kind of like a Dillinger Day thing. They're opening, from my understanding, they have some more artifacts that they're willing to showcase. They're excited to get it out to the public. They're trying to put on an event. It sounds like everybody's in. So that'll be happening. But then again, don't listen to what the hell I have to say, because I say things on here and then they don't happen. Right, Travis?
That's true.
So let's get into the Indiana State Museum update. And with disappointment, we say we're not going to be having an exhibit with the baseball glove.
Yes.
We are not working with the Indiana State Museum. In fact, we say F the Indiana State Museum to the highest degree, because we didn't announce this on TikTok because we really wanted to tell you guys, our listeners, first. Dude, if I could hate a museum more than I hate the Indiana State Museum, I don't know what museum that would be. The Indiana State Museum or the Boston Red Sox Museum, I would hate that museum a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah, with you.
But Travis and I are going to go over the story real quick. We're going to tell our perspective. Literally, we're going to give you the timeline of what happened, because we want you guys to know, like, this is another example of how Dillinger's ghost is elusive and how we run into problems. You think like it was a slam dunk. Indiana State Museum, slam dunk. Yep. You're telling us. So we're going to go over it real quick. Okay, Stuart, you're just going to hear this because...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited to hear this.
You kind of heard this.
I've heard bits and pieces of it, but I want to hear the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's fun. Strap in. So,
Travis, let me go into the kind of the timeline and then we fill in together. All right?
Sounds good.
We got a call from a lady who's going to remain nameless.
Very nice.
Yeah, super nice. She knows exactly who she is. Not her fault. Yes. This none of this has to do with her.
No.
She saw our video on TikTok of the baseball glove of Travis showing me the baseball glove. For you, those of you who don't know, the baseball glove is a artifact that Travis found in the family heirlooms. Right, Mike? You guys had it somewhere?
Correct.
But chime in here, Mikey.
I'm just sitting back enjoying a drink watching Saturday Night Live.
You're funny on a Sunday night. So the artifact that Travis found it, we obviously got, I got to see it. We believe it's John's. We have no other reason. We're not out here peddling 1920s golf or baseball gloves. like we're trying to resell this for money. Like, what a ridiculous thing if we were doing that. We're not that desperate. We're not that desperate. No. So, she sees it, gives Travis a call. And what'd she say, Travis?
She was interested in the story behind it, was curious about it. You know, she was doing her homework, her research, reaching out. Hey, what is it? You know, how? And, you know, we believe it's his. You know, we can't 100% say it was his. I mean, he didn't hand it to me. You know, he didn't hand the debt. You know, so explained what it is. I said,
he
I like having
by the other day.
Yep.
Yeah.
With Elvis. Yeah. So I gave her what I knew about it. I texted her a photo of John with the baseball team, the Martinsville Athletics, of him holding the glove similar to the one I have. It looks identical to it. And we set up a meeting. My schedule is a little conflicting, so it took about a couple of weeks before I could actually meet with her. I reached out to Joe immediately after I got off the phone with her and kind of let him take over on the communication and everything up.
And it was pretty chill because honestly, she was really just communicating with you. And until you put me in a text with her saying like, hey, what's up? This is Joe. He wants to shoot some video and wants to like be there as you guys kind of authenticate this. Right. I mean, I put a TikTok out that we were going to do this. Like I worked on that TikTok like, hey, guys, I'm excited to say this because I had talked to Mary and Mary was all in. She was like, cool. Like, oh, dang it. I'm going to have to say Mary Tyler Moore. So she's in. Right. She's like, cool.
Yeah.
And this was about a week before the thing. So on that Monday prior, of course, I confirm because we all have schedules. I want to make sure everything's going all right. You're confirmed, Travis. You and I are going down there. We're supposed to meet at 2:15. I figured you and I would meet at 2. We'd stand outside, chat, do some video, go in and see them, get ready to authenticate this right at 2:15. I mean, literally, when I say record, I'm like bringing my phone and I'm holding it sideways and vertical to try to get some TikTok footage of us doing this, right, and getting some Indiana Museum publicity. Everything's cool. Yeah. I say, hey, Mary. I mean, fuck it. Her name's Mary. Sorry. Nameless. And she's like, okay, I need to connect you with the marketing team because I hate to tell you, they're not going to, and I talked to her on the phone, they're not going to let you shoot video. I was like, okay, I guess that's fine. We can kind of work around that. I mean, I can be there with Travis and I could just like report on it. And so at that point, I get pushed to an email with the marketing team, social media coordinator and the marketing manager, whatever her name is. And we start, so I immediately call them because I just, it's day of or day before. We got to get, you know, we got to get this figured out. Am I coming? Am I not? What's the deal? Do I have to sign anything? And it ends up turning into a massive discussion that I should have recorded it. You guys, I cannot believe how disrespectful and dumb their arguments are. Just straight up, like, I know we're not a news organization, us here at this podcast, but we are the foremost experts on Dillinger in the world, in my opinion. I mean, there's nobody else better than us in terms of knowing the facts. I mean, we get Scott Olmstead on here and forget it. I mean, now we literally, there's nobody better than us five. So, right. And I'll throw Scott's name out there all the time because he's just a baller when it comes to this stuff and knowing what he's doing. Oh, yeah.
No doubt. No, absolutely.
So to then get on the phone with us and me specifically and then tell us, hey, we're not going to let you shoot video on an artifact that us, Travis and Joe and Mike and Stuart and the Dillinger project, were bringing them, and who they asked us to bring the video.
Yeah.
So I was
that's
like,
the crazy part.
My main arguments and all you guys need to hear is give me a reason why. Oh, because the answer was because there's processes that you have to go through. This isn't just something that you can just do. And my response to that was, what are those processes? Explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Right. I can't explain it to you on a quick phone call like this. Okay, I don't understand. What kind of processes at a museum for video shooting am I? Do I have to go to the board and present to the board, you know, that I'm going to do this? And the answer was, basically, you're dumb. This process is so outside your league. I'm not even going to waste your time and explain it in a 5-minute phone call. I said, well, how about, is there anything that I can do? Can I come down right now? Because I was in the car. I'll come down right now to the museum. I'll sign whatever paperwork. Is it paperwork? What is it? I just can't even explain it to you. It's too much.
Wow.
So obviously, red-blooded Italian-American, I'm not Italian-American, but you know, Italian from the East Coast got a little heated and was basically like, this is dumb. These are not real excuses. Something else is going on. And if I was a TV reporter, which I was at Wish TV, you would allow me to come down with my TV crew to do stuff like this, right? Well, that's a little differently. You know, your podcast is explicit, which was their main argument. And of course we say, of course it's explicit. We're talking about historical robbery and shootings and murders and gangsters. Yes. It's going to have an explicit rating despite it being, you know, what it is. So I ended up the phone call on just kind of having an understanding that I'm not going to be allowed there. I was really heated and I thought it would be best if I just didn't go. I just told her I was going to go. I was like, Travis is going to be inside. I'm going to be outside the museum from the street shooting video. And she was like, no, you can't. I was like, yeah, I can. I absolutely can. I was like, you should know that. I was in news for 10 years. She goes, well, I was in news for 20 years. I was like, oh, really? Well, then you should know that we should be allowed to do this. Yeah. So I sound really upset because it obviously was upsetting. But then I called Travis right away and I said, yo, man, I'm not going to be there. You're going to have to do this, which is still a great opportunity. Right, Travis? It was
Yeah, because all I wanted to do, because they were interested in other artifacts. Obviously, they've been paying attention to what we've got going on. And maybe this was like, you know, the grease the wheel a little bit. Maybe we could share to the public more. There's nothing really out there of artifact-wise.
And yeah, which was their main claim, was that people are calling and saying, constantly. Hey, do you guys have John Dillinger artifacts? Once a week, she said. Once a week.
Yep, once a week that people, I mean, year-round are always looking for something Dillinger-related, and they don't have anything.
Okay, so we're like, this is a win. You'll put it on loan. Good. You'll get it authenticated, which obviously helps you possibly put a price to it, which could happen. As we all know, you know, having it give it something value makes it real. If it's just some baseball glove, it doesn't have any real value. And whether you're going to sell it or not, it's still important to have value to things that you own. I don't care who you are, if you're selling it or not. And if you want to sell it, great, Travis and Mike, it's yours. Do whatever the freak you want. But the point is, you go down there. It's the Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It's 2:00 in the afternoon, 2:15. You bring the glove. You're excited. Everybody's there. How were those people to you?
So I was met with 4 different people. They treated me like a VIP. They're excited. I mean, they're walking me. We went up an elevator to like a 2nd floor. They're taking me down a hallway where all the employees are. And they're introducing me. Hey, this is John Dillinger's great nephew. Like, you know, they're taking me. And then I meet this air quote, so-called expert.
So he was the authentication expert.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So we go in the room.
And by the way, we were told, Stuart, that he was a volunteer that had since retired from working.
Okay.
So he was coming back to do this on the side for them.
Okay.
And he seemed annoyed a little bit. I didn't really care really much about what he had. Like, I just was interested in the glove. He seemed kind of annoyed. But from the moment we stepped in, and they're filming and taking notes and doing all the marketing stuff for the museum. When I walk in the room, not once, but four times during this conversation, they offered to buy it.
They offered to buy it?
They offered to buy it. They wouldn't give me an amount. They wanted me to give an amount. And I'm like, I just want to share it with the public.
Right.
I'm not really interested in wanting to sell it. So, and you know, they offered it at the beginning, and then they're like, besides just putting on loan, we buy artifacts all the time. Just give us a number. I'm like,
interesting.
I'm like, no, I want to share it with the public. And if it, you know, if someone had offered money or something like that, we can go there. But later, like, I was going to give it to them during baseball season from April to October. And I'm like, at the end, maybe we could talk. But right now, let's just share it with the public.
It's a historic community, right? It's a display of historic Indiana State history at a museum. It's called the Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites. Their job should be to just, you know, like we always talk about, give truth, right? Like, it's supposed to be clarity and truth.
I don't know why it has to be so hard.
And they're asking us to buy it, which is fine if they want to ask, but you made it clear, hey, we're not selling this. This is something that we want to share.
Yeah, so I pass it around. It's pretty much handled. Everyone can hold it. Expert was like, yep, it's period correct. It's an infielder's glove. It'd be what a shortstop. He was a shortstop, but he's left-handed. This would be on a glove that'd be on a left-handed.
Expert is saying that pretty standard fact, right? He's saying he's left-handed, right?
Yeah, so there's no way. And after the fact, I did some research and found out that it's pretty common for a baseball player that's left-handed to throw with his right hand. It's cross dominance is what I've looked up.
You're ambidextrous is what you're saying. If somebody could be.
Yeah. And he was a good shortstop, and he would never have used a left-hand dominant shortstop in the field. You play
that
baseball.
What does that mean, Travis? He's wearing the glove on his left hand and he's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's normal. He's a right-handed thrower.
Yeah. And the expert said there's no way. If he's left-hand dominant, he would throw right-handed. No way.
So it's publicly documented which hand he threw with.
Yeah, and there's nothing about it. And even in the photo,
you mean there's not anything public? There's none. Do you know of him being left-handed?
I'm looking it up as you guys are talking on some of his old wanted poster information, and I don't see that.
Yeah, right-hand dominant. Yeah. Watch out. He
yeah.
He writes his ransom notes in right hands.
Yeah. So,
well, it's amazing what they will document sometimes. So, you know, it's just worth a look.
So, and, you know, we have the photo and he's holding the glove in his left hand.
And you're talking about the team photo from the Martinsville.
The team photo. Yeah. And the expert goes, well, maybe he just grabbed the glove off the ground from one of his buddies and held it just for the pitcher. Well, why wouldn't he hold his own glove?
And why wouldn't he, and why would he keep that glove?
Yeah, so it was this kind of, it was really weird. And so, you know, they are like, you know, it's period correct, it's horse hide, nothing's been altered on it, it's 100% original, there's nothing been really done with it, right? So they stopped filming. And
by the way, that's also a good point. They brought their own camera crew. Wasn't allowed.
They brought their own film. They were very excited. The people filming it were extremely excited about it. I was like, take all the photos you want, take all the video you want, you know. And so they stopped filming. And again, they bring up again, this is the second time, hey, you know, we buy artifacts all the time. Would you sell it? And they had two contracts. Contract to sell it and a contract to put it on loan on the table. And during this, you know, they're looking at the pitcher. They're talking to the expert. I should have been there. And Dale, the so-called expert, kind of gets off the rails here a little bit. And he says a homosexual joke about John. He goes, oh, the real reason probably why Jagger wanted to kill John was because John was Jagger Hoover's secret lover. And they had a breakup, and that's why they hunted him down to kill him. And I blew it off. I'm like, this is a professional setting. I'm keeping my professional self here representing the family. And and our podcast, and I thought it was kind of odd. Why would you say something like that? And so he kind of got a little agitated because he's like, you guys are the family members that are trying to exhume the body and this and that. And we're like, yeah, we went into that. We talked about it. And halfway during through that, he gets up and goes, I got to leave. I got something else to do. And leaves. Then I'm with all the, you know, other people. And again, the third time they asked, hey, would you be willing to sell it? And he goes, you know, if when we display it, we have to, you know, say that it's believed to be John's artifact, which I had no problem with that, right? They have other artifacts. They have to, they said legally they have to do that because no one witnessed the transaction.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's not unreasonable at all.
No, and I didn't have a problem with that. And but, you know, the offer wanted me to sell it. I'm like, no, we'll just do the paperwork to put it on loan. It out.
Yep.
Yep, everything was good. And so they walk me downstairs, Mary does, and we're going to she said, I'll validate your parking. And she goes, hey, how about I show you where we're going to display it at?
Cool.
So I'm like, all right. So it's right off the main thoroughfare of the museum and where people can go. And they have a famous baseball player from Indiana's glove there. And so they go, show, like, hey, we're probably going to put it right here. And
cool.
We walk back over there, and again, the fourth time, hey, would you be willing to sell the glove?
You're lying, dude. I think you're making it.
No. So, you know, I'm like, why would the museum be like hell-bent on purchasing the glove? Wouldn't they be happy with just having it on loan?
Yeah, driving ticket sales.
Yeah, right. Doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah, don't cost anyone anything. And, so we parted ways. They have the glove. I have my document, which I still do have my receipt that I gave it to them, and then I got a receipt when I got it back.
Do you have the loan document that like that you were putting it on loan? Do you have that thing that you were going to sign?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I have all that.
But okay, so you leave, and by the way, let me just put this out there. So just want to be clear that the so-called expert is making homosexual comments, and they were worried about our explicit rating for their podcast. I just want to be clear. And if you go to the Indiana State Museum website, it's like literally children, children, children. So I'm pretty sure, you know, having derogatory comments about someone's sexuality, you know, even though it's historic, you know, maybe I'm being petty here, but you know, come on, like you can't wear the shoes on both feet. I mean, you can't have it both ways, I guess is a better way to say it.
Yeah. I mean, I really almost just took the glove and left. Just because that's how you're going to conduct business is you're going to – the family member of this person is sitting right there.
Yeah, you're going to insult them.
Yeah, and so – but I was like, you know what? The public – I care more about the public or fans, people that would be more interested in seeing it than this jackass. So I continued with a professional manner and went through the process. But then, you know, a few days later, I get a phone call. And it's Mary, and she goes, and her tone's different. We cannot use the glove now. We want you to come and pick it up as soon as possible. We do not want it in our possession. You need to come pick it up. And so I was like, yeah, I can come, you know, next day or so and pick it up. And I told Joe about it, told Dad about it. I get down there, and it was like a day after the phone call or so, and they meet me. Their tone is totally different. Here's paperwork, here's a glove, and they have it wrapped in this paper that's supposed to keep it in good condition. It's I forget what it's called.
Baking paper.
But it's almost the how I met her before and how I'm meeting her now was totally different. Mm-hmm. You can definitely tell. She had her marching orders. You do not talk about anything.
Yeah.
Here it is.
This is wildly similar to another organization that we dealt with on another Dillinger-related matter.
Yes. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So what did she say again? One last time. She said, how did she word it?
About what?
What was the reasoning why?
The reason why is they could not Theta with John, which we agreed to that before, if you know, believed to be his. I mean, they have stuff from Abraham Lincoln that's believed to be his.
Yeah, there's the baseball photo.
So yeah, well, let me add real quick. So, you know, sometimes these old photos, that they get flipped, and I don't know exactly what the photographic term is, but
yeah,
you know, it's like you get the mirror image. And so I don't think you can always count on just because that it looks like he's holding that in his left hand. That photo could have been flipped.
But Stuart, also, what's one piece of photo evidence that you have?
Exactly.
That's a ridiculous thing. Plus, couldn't you see which hand in the glove? Like, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Joe, you're a baseball player, so it's probably still familiar with you. I haven't played since Little League, but I do, you know, I play tennis almost every day. And, you know, I'm a right-handed player, but if I'm not playing in between points, I have it in my left hand. If you took a picture of me, you know, between points, you on that logic, you'd say, oh, he's left-handed.
Yeah. And I run in from the outfield holding my glove in my right hand when every inning. It's actually something that I've done since I've been a teenager. I would take my glove off my left hand, I shake it off, and I throw it, and I run in like Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
Because Mariano Rivera used to do that. You remember that, Travis? He would run in Sandman, and he would have it in his right hand. But anyway, I mean, it just shows that, like, okay, so we're going to make an assumption here, but let's just finish the story, because there's one more piece of thing here that I want to go over. So Travis calls me immediately, says, hey, they don't want anything to do with us or the glove.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a bad feeling about this. Something's going on. And I immediately reach out via email, and I said, this is my exact words. Hey, I said, I heard the visit went well. Travis mentioned the footage. What's the timeline when you can start posting it? Can we have some of those edited clips? Of course, she says, hey, I've been at leadership offsite. This is the leader. This is whatever her name is, the marketing director. I've been at leadership offsite all day, and I saw you just called. I'm sure at this point you've talked to Travis about his conversation with Mary today. If not, please confirm with him on the museum team's feedback after meeting with Travis. I believe he's picking up the glove early next week. Take care, Joe. And of course I say, you know, does the museum have an official statement about the findings? You said just talk to Travis. Well, Travis didn't get an official statement. He just got a phone call.
Yeah.
And it says, just checking in to say that Susanna and I have made the decision to return the glove to Travis. I plan on keeping the reasoning to something like, I discussed the glove with my colleagues. She replied all. She included replies to her team in the email to me about it. And saying, I discussed the glove with my colleagues, and after giving it more thought, we feel that it wouldn't be appropriate to display it as John Dillinger's glove, or even possibly John Dillinger's glove, given Dale's concerns about it being from the wrong hand, etc. I'll let Travis communicate that to Joe, and don't plan on responding to this email. Thank you very much for your much help this week. I apologize again for how this thing spiraled. Mary saying to everybody, which, you know, dumbass Indiana State Museum, don't send me the email that's included in Mary. Are you guys fucking insane? Are you dumb? Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, you're not even trying to hide the fact that you guys are just being fucking rude about this. And Mary is essentially is getting in trouble. At least that's the feeling I got for.
That's what I felt.
Basically saying, hey, come on out, without going through the proper things, which we can understand. Like, it's, you know, I just looked up, both the social communication manager has only been there a year, and that other chick has only been there since last June. So both kind of new management in the museum. And I'm, you know, to be completely honest, I'm freaking bitter about this. And this is her official statement after I messaged her. As we mentioned in the past, we do not provide authentication for items outside of our collection. Any connection to Dillinger is not clear enough to exhibit the mitt. Let me just read it one more time. We mentioned in the past, which she never did, we do not provide authentication for items outside of our collection. Any connection to Dillinger is not close enough for the exhibit. That line, we do not provide authentication for items outside of our collection, means they were just trying to buy it for their collection, and then they would authenticate it. Which,
yes.
Stuart, if you're investing in an artifact,
Yeah.
You want to buy it for less and sell it for more, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So just want to be clear, Indiana State Museum was in it for fucking money, to be clear.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I was really trying to figure out the angle why they kept, were so persistent about wanting to buy it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially without any, you know, authentication. Because, right, Travis, they had not done any authentication at that point, right?
No. I mean, I guarantee you they did the research. I mean, they looked at it. What's funny is all the people that were there at the table with the expert, they still wanted it on loan. Regardless, after what he said, they're like, oh, yeah, we'll put it, believed to be John's baseball glove, right?
Yeah.
They're like, yep, slide the paperwork. You know, they gave me the paperwork. So whatever happened after I left, something changed. Like, you know, me and my wife were talking, and she was like, maybe they had someone already wanting to buy it, and they're like, well, he's not wanting to come off of it selling it. He wants to put it on loan.
And they, guys, I didn't realize this. I'm reading all their emails that they had internally between them because she sent me the whole thread. So now I'm back in my email going
or
in.
Or maybe
say what, Dad?
Maybe they had a visitor like somewhere else did.
That was my first thought, Mike.
Yep. That's what I was thinking.
I don't think so. No way.
They changed just like the other place.
Well, I just think how everybody, you know, Hollywood, map's fake. You faked it. I mean, the glove, I mean, we're not trying to sell it. I mean, that should tell you something right now. If I was trying to fake something, wouldn't I be trying to sell it?
Indiana State Museum social media communication manager Chloe Fellwalk said to everyone, this is so funny, they sent me the whole freaking thread. Hey everyone, Taylor and I would love to be there to capture the photo and video when Travis brings in the glove this afternoon. If we can verify that this was Dillinger's baseball glove, it would be an incredible moment. Mary, would you be able to meet us there in the textile room around 2:20 so we can prepare? Hey Judy and Chloe, just wanted to follow up about Travis's digging up Dillinger. John Dillinger's great nephew and Joe Melillo, the producer of the podcast, know that we won't be able to do the recording tomorrow. They expressed interest in connecting with all you polite and potentially rescheduling. So again, they're it's unbelievable. Yeah. And then of course it's a super cold from Judy Palermo. We're just going to blast them. The chief marketing officer, she was at the Indiana zoo for 9-10 years. And that's how I knew her from TV. And she basically was like, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, 15 years. And I was like, well, I've never been treated like this. I don't care. Even when I was a reporter, I was never treated this way. This is ridiculous. So again, I think I know there's that other party that wants to do things, but I don't think that's the case here, honestly. And the reason being is they clearly wanted money. They wanted this to sell it. They wanted to try to cheat Travis out of making him sign something that he wasn't maybe prepared to do after he said it a couple times and then sell it and then authenticate it after buying it. And then the price would skyrocket because it's authenticated. Okay. Yeah. So what a ridiculous moment. I mean,
there's numerous possibilities.
It could be.
I mean, they talked about how they were wanting to have a big day, you know, big press day, the day it comes out or day before, and have a big event and advertise it. And I mean, they had already planned this all out.
Yeah.
And yet you still took it for loan. You know, I don't know if they wanted to, I mean, did they want to back out because I want to sell it to them? But they're like, no, go ahead. You know, make sure we have it. And I don't know.
I'm connecting with them on LinkedIn so that I can tag them on our LinkedIn posts for this episode. Because I think it was super disrespectful all the way around. Like, first of all, It wasn't like I got this phone call from Mary and then all of a sudden was like, or I'm sorry, I didn't call Mary and say, hey, we have something for you. They came to us. They started it. They were the ones who wanted it. What the hell?
Yeah.
So, you know, here we are. I think Travis deserves at least a little bit of an apology. Also, I think the Indiana State people members of the state who want to learn about history, and then you got these schmucks running the museum saying, you know, trying to sell it, and then obviously using us for footage and then not letting us do it. Like, you know, hey guys, if you want to see this 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 glove, we'll do a special Zoom call where you can zoom in and we'll show it to you, or we'll just put it on the podcast. Like
maybe we can get a different place instead of the State Museum, and we can show it and some other items.
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
There's other museums other than this Indiana State Museum. So
If any of our viewers know of a museum or
a place who would like to have a viewing of Dillinger items, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know three other museums that would want it, but
I do have some nice items.
Yeah. And that's what I think funny is this could have been that door opening.
Yeah.
To have the museum house stuff on loan to be able to show the public, but they really shot themselves in the foot here.
Yep.
Because I'm not going to work with them again.
Yeah.
Well, of course that's not. They're not going to work with us either. I mean, if they're a child organization, you know, I can understand us being a little bit over the top. But, you know, anyway, we needed to get this. We needed to vent to y'all a little bit because.
Well, you know, you guys aren't nice like me. They would.
Well, I mean, let me ask this question. What are the odds that, let's say, an 8-year-old goes to the museum and sees John Dillinger's baseball glove and thinks, that you know, that's really cool, man. That is because I know when I was 8 years old, if I saw that, that would have really – I just would have thought that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to go, you know, I need to check out if that the possible owner of this is on a podcast that might have a couple of F-bombs every now and then.
I know it's you not know, like you said, check out the Dillinger John or the Digging of Dillinger podcast.
Exactly.
On it's the not, museum.
Yeah, like, it's like the artifact doesn't come with a plug for the podcast, you know?
They just we're not dumb. We knew that they started backtracking because Mary really wanted this and kind of like overstepped her bounds by inviting us and not going through the proper channels. So Mary kind of got in trouble and then they tried to back me off. And of course I'm like, you're joking, right? Like you're not going to back me off about this when it's our artifact. We're giving it to you. You're driving ticket sales. You could put it up as a display on your website about, you know, your upcoming exhibits. I mean, that would drive traffic. I mean, it's a social, even the social media in their thread that they accidentally sent me says, you know, this would be a great moment for us. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, for our viewers who don't know where our museum is, it's
okay. They're right doing across,
it fits right across the street from the Indianapolis Indians baseball stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean,
don't worry. They're doing a cardboard Storyland instead for kids. So good. I mean, that'll drive some traffic. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Blows my mind. And just the disrespect of like, you know, we were like, hey, let me do something. Hey, Travis or Stuart, can you come over to my house and bring something for me? Cool. Meet me on Tuesday. Okay, cool.
Happy to, Joe. Yeah.
Cool. Hey, Travis or Stuart, guess what?
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with you. Never mind.
Don't bring it.
Don't even come near me. But, take it home.
Go burn it.
Unless you're bringing a drink by or something. Yeah.
Hey, we keep it rolling, baby. Like, in the end, we know our truth. We talk about this all the time. We're living our truth. If people don't want to believe us, we don't want to believe it. But some, you know, dumbass expert that's not even like, you know, doesn't even understand Dillinger history and uses one. What kind of authentication is one picture doing? Yeah. And you know, that calls into question all the authentication of all their stuff. If they're just using it for money, I mean, they're just buying it for money. Prove us wrong too. Indiana State Museum, Judy and Palermo, call me.
Well,
prove us wrong.
It seems like it'd be odd. They want to buy it and still wanted to buy it if they didn't think it was it.
Yeah. Cause they wanted to buy, like they asked me twice. And then after we got done with looking at the glove, they wanted to buy it two more times after the fact. So, So, I mean, to me, that shows them they believed it was genuine.
Something happened in between that. Yep. Something happened. That just doesn't make sense. Something doesn't add up in there.
I'll tell you what it is. Travis didn't want to sell it. That's all it comes down to. He didn't want to sell it, and they were like, they're done. And here's the thing. I asked them. I said, for documentary purposes, I know my viewers and listeners would love to learn about how you authenticate things at a museum. I don't know that. I've never learned that.
That's cool. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, that was my whole thing. So an innocent angle like that turns into a no, there's something off there, and they're definitely doing business a weird way. I don't know. Maybe I should join the board and hopefully learn how they do their finances, because if they need Travis's glove in order to make black in the year, then they're dumb. They can't figure this out. Anyway, this title of this podcast episode is called "The Indiana State Museum Sucks." No. I'm not kidding. Listen, I'm literally going to post it on LinkedIn. I'm sorry. I'm done. Yeah. I'm done being nice about stuff, especially when we get disrespected like that. Like, fuck off. Like, seriously, fuck off.
No, I mean, I thought this was a great opportunity. You'd been in Indianapolis. You know, John was born in Indianapolis. It's right across from the Indianapolis Indians. You know, a minor league baseball team. I don't know where else they'd want to be. So now, if it's an out-of-state museum that wants it more, guess what? Sure. It'll be, you know, Hoosiers that are Dillinger fans that live right here in the state will have to travel to see it.
Yep.
That's great. Maybe Crown Point Jail might like it better too. Yeah. So we'll talk. I mean, they would literally display it today. So anyway.
Are we going to get a chance to talk about the grave?
No, not today. Yeah. We're going to talk about it another day. But we have another episode coming up that will be in next week. We're going to talk about this picture that we found of the grave and what we think, or what this article is displaying the grave at Crown Point looks like.
Crown Hill.
Yeah. Looks like Crown Point, Crown Hill. Y'all know it's tough to remember.
Yeah, it is. I have to juggle that sometimes myself. Yep.
But look for this episode. I can't wait for this to drop. I'm going to drop it tonight. We'll see the response, but I'm tagging Indiana State Museum, guys. So listen, if you know another museum, I'm sorry. If you like the Indiana State Museum, great. I mean, I think they do a Christmas tree thing that kind of sucks too. So, I'm going hard. From a digging up Dillinger perspective, we have some things coming up. Thanks for listening. You know, thanks for being on this journey with us. I want to apologize now for my actions on this episode. is there anything else you guys want to add before we head out?
No.
No, I think you've covered it all.
Yeah. No,
I'm slightly appalled and shocked all at once. But
I mean, other than that,
it's a hard act to follow. So.
Yeah.
One more thing. One last point I think I'd like to make is that Mike and Travis have other artifacts. Yeah, artifacts. And you're telling me because some expert decided once that we don't get to work with them at all. You know what I'm saying? Like I've seen them and that definitely might have a better historical trail to be able to prove that that's an authentic Dillinger thing, but never mind. I guess not Judy Palermo.
Just another roadblock in this Dillinger adventure.
It is. It's okay. This one's small. This one's not like a big one.
God, I feel like back in the 30s again. We have the FBI after us. It's like roadblock after roadblock. I got to find a different avenue to get around. I got to find a safe house.
We're going to keep looking into this, though, boys. We're going to keep looking at this.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't stopped yet. So, we've faced these kind of obstacles now for 2018, Travis? This whole Odyssey started. So yeah, we'll keep on rocking.
All right, boys.
We need Johnny Depp help. That's all I'm just saying. We need some help from Johnny Depp.
Come on, Johnny.
If you guys didn't want him,
it'd be nice if he could step in.
Yeah,
I do. I do know he's.
Well, get going, Mike.
Hand man,
get going, dude. Well, make a phone call.
I hate to ask too many favors. He's been a pretty nice guy.
Yes,
well,
he has.
I think he would like this, so we'll maybe pull that off the chart here and get going. But if you didn't want to hear an explicit podcast, shouldn't have turned us on. So
yeah,
fucking explicit. Yeah. I'm gonna keep it explicit by swearing a bunch today.
We're just real guys, and we say real things, and we just want the truth of what happened with John Dillinger. It's that simple. It really
we're
is.
Very
it's,
passionate.
It's no more complicated than that.
Yeah, just a bunch of passionate guys trying to solve a mystery.
And I just had this thought process of like the museum would be this place of integrity and clarity and transparency, and it just didn't turn out to be that way. Yeah. It just turned out to be something really weird.
No, so. It just turned out to be a guy making a homosexual joke, and
Dale making a homosexual joke.
I know. Don't say anything, Travis, but maybe he thought you was a handsome guy.
Oh well, you know, I am pretty handsome.
I'm just saying.
Mike, you know, he does look like John Dillinger a little bit. Yeah. You guys are great. All right. As we always say, keep digging. Until next time, we'll talk a little bit more. All right, guys. Until next time. The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.